This morning, our scripture reading comes from both Psalm 23 and also John chapter 10. I'll be reading verses 1 through 21, and I invite you to follow along in your Bibles as I read. First Psalm 23 and then John chapter 10. From Psalm 23, hear now the word of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And also John chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd," verse 11. "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Praise God for this word for us today. The Word became flesh and walked among us. That's the testimony of John chapter 1. And here in the Gospel of John chapter 10, we learn that the Word that became flesh and walked among us walks among us as a shepherd. Not just any shepherd, but a good shepherd. And Jesus makes it very clear, doesn't he? He says it multiple times. "I am the good shepherd." He wants us to get that and understand what that means. That's what we're going to talk about today. Luke tells us in another gospel that the shepherds were with their sheep at night, keeping watch over their flock. But it says in Luke 2 that the shepherds lived with their sheep. Day and night, they stayed with the sheep. and lived with them and protected them. And it said the glory of the Lord shone around them and scared them to pieces. They were terrified, weren't they? That's what the angel had to say, be not afraid. Shepherd and sheep are very important images in the Bible. And certainly it's a very important image, that of shepherd, of Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. The word that was from the beginning, you remember, of Genesis 1? The word that was from the beginning. Threw up a tent and made his dwelling among us. Just like the glory of God lived among the people in the Old Testament. The glory of God in his Son, Jesus Christ, lives among his people. Pitches a tent, tabernacles among them, as the word is. He goes wherever the people go. And that Jesus goes with us and you and me too. As the glory, as the word made flesh. And important for us non-shepherds to understand is that sheep are very careful to understand the particular voice of their shepherd. Not just any shepherd, but their particular shepherd they learn to listen to and follow. Many other shepherds in the field, but they learn the voice of their own shepherd. The one that will bring them to safety, to sustenance, and salvation. You mistake your shepherd's voice for someone else's, and you might end up on the dinner plate, someone's dinner plate. So you didn't want to get that confused. A sheep learned who to trust, who would lead them to the food, who would lead them to safety, who would protect them from enemies. They learned the voice of their one shepherd. Maybe you've listened to wrong shepherds too, like I have. Maybe you've listened to wrong voices at some times. You know, like that person who told you how to deal with a loose tooth, just take a pair of pliers and pull on it. Not always the best idea. Or the unqualified home inspector, who when you were going to buy a house and you got an inspector to do the right thing, right? And then he tells you, oh, don't worry about a couple termite runs in your house. You have a sound house. And later on you find it's infested. Or how about that non-doctor friend of yours that says, oh, go ahead and take double the medication the doctor told you because, well, it worked for her. I think we've all listened to wrong voices sometimes, wrong shepherds, wrong authorities in our lives that have gotten us into some trouble at one point or another. Well, in John chapter 10, Jesus, the Word made flesh, comes as the voice, the authority, the good shepherd who knows his sheep and whose sheep know him and follow him. It matters who we listen to. It matters what voice we listen to, what authority that we're paying attention to, especially when it comes to the spiritual realm. First, Jesus offers two metaphors to describe who he is, and that's what's going on here in the Gospel of John. Jesus is declaring who he is. And I don't know how people miss it, but they miss it that Jesus is divine. And that's exactly what he's trying to declare throughout the Gospel of John. People read the Gospel of John and they somehow miss it. And they say, oh, the Bible doesn't say anywhere that Jesus is divine. He's declaring that he is God. And he's going through different Jewish festivals and saying, I've replaced that. I've become that. I've fulfilled these festivals. And even in John chapter 10, a little bit later, the religious leaders are out to kill him. Why are they out to kill him? Because he's declaring himself to be the same as the Father, to be God himself. So he's declaring who he is, and here he's teaching us a couple of metaphors, and he's trying to make it clear. He's trying to make it really clear. Jesus is often accused of being confusing because he uses a lot of parables and things like that. But he's being very clear on purpose here. He explains this a couple different ways for his audience. Well, in John chapter 1, we heard that the true light that gives life was coming into the world, and the darkness did not understand it. The world didn't recognize him. His own didn't receive him at all. And in the passage just before the one we read, there's a story about a man was born blind, and Jesus helps him to see. He does what? He gives light to his eyes. And it is a whole interesting story in chapter 9 about the religious leader is bringing the man in to interview him a couple of different times. And then they bring in his parents to interview them and say, what's going on here? Who is this man that healed you? And they don't care that he can see now. But the blind man says, I don't know, sir. All I know is I was blind and now I can see. You want to know him too? It's a neat story. You want to know him too? Go ask him. Go find out yourself. But again, the theme of John, right? The darkness does not understand. The darkness doesn't get it. And they're not getting these metaphors, these figures of speech that Jesus is using either. Verses 3 through 4, it says, the gatekeeper. And maybe this is God the Father, maybe this is John the Baptist, I don't know. But the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. That's how well he knows his sheep. He knows them each by name. And his own sheep follow him because they know his voice. You see, the shepherd goes ahead of them. Not behind. Sheep aren't driven from behind with a whip like some other animals. The shepherd goes ahead, and the sheep have the freedom to follow or not to follow. Here, Jesus is making it clear that the sheep hear his voice, they trust his voice, and they choose to follow him. Secondly, Jesus says he's the gate for the sheep, verses 7 through 10. Another thing us non-shepherds today probably need to understand is the occupational hazards of a shepherd of that day. Armed with sling and staff and rod and stones, shepherds were charged to protect their sheep, guard them. Protect them from what? From thieves and robbers who would steal them, right? Or protect them from others who would do them harm. And so they're really these fierce warrior types, defenders of their own. Luke 2 said the shepherds were living out in the fields and they lived with their sheep day and night. That's how they got to know them so well, but it's also how the sheep got to know the shepherds and got to trust them so well too. See, Psalm 23 doesn't say that the sheep might go through the valley of the shadow of death. They will go through the valley of the shadow of death. And what is that valley? Well, if you're moving your sheep through the countryside, or if you're a lone sheep especially, very dangerous place was in the valley. Great place for ambush, for wild animals, or for thieves, bandits, robbers who would try to steal the sheep. So it was that valley of the shadow of death that was a very dangerous place. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, not maybe or someday if, but I know I'm going to go through these valleys, even though I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Why? Because you can defend me. You can defend me from the animals. So the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He goes before me, and he leads me through those darkest valleys, just like Jesus, our great good shepherd, goes with us and goes before us and leads us through dark times, leads us through dangerous places in life too. In verse 6, it says the Pharisees don't get it. They don't understand this figure of speech. So Jesus changes it a little in verses 7 through 9. Jesus says again, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Spiritual thieves and robbers have existed for a long time. They are the false messiahs, the false leaders, the false shepherds of Israel, both in the past and the current ones that Jesus is talking to. They're the ones that have taken life. They don't care about the sheep. They draw life from you. In contrast, verse 10, Jesus says that he gives life. He gives life to the full. Peppered throughout Palestine are these large and small enclosures. And it could be made of small stone walls in a circular pattern, or they could be made of trees or bushes that are wound together to make an enclosure or a pen for the sheep. And you know about this. And there's only one way and one gate in and out of that sheep pen. And sometimes there would be a physical gate, and other times there wouldn't be. But either way, the shepherd in that time would lay down in that area, in that gate, and would become the physical gate if there wasn't one, or would be right there at that gate to protect the sheep from any who would do them harm. Jesus says, I am the gate for the people of God. I'm the one who cares enough to lay my life on the line for them. Again, remember the context. Unlike the false shepherds who only cared for themselves. So the sheep know the voice of their shepherd, and they know him as their gate, who protects them from the enemy. And the sheep know the good shepherd as compared to the bad shepherds. So finally, Jesus explains that he is the good shepherd. And I have to mention this because oftentimes if you don't know about shepherds, the images we see are the paintings and whatnot of a Bedouin shepherd boy or something holding a cute little cuddly lamb in his arms, and you just think, oh, that's a nice shepherd image. But when I think about the imagery of the Lord as shepherd, I'm not just thinking about a nice, you know, cuddly lamb image. Like I said, I think now that I've studied a little bit about shepherds in the ancient world, I think of a fierce warrior.
Jesus' last prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he talked about the unity, the oneness of God's people, that there would be one covenant family of God. And Jesus makes it clear that he lays down his life for his sheep. He does so voluntarily, of his own accord. He has authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Nobody killed Jesus. Jesus laid his life down of his own authority. In the Gospel of John, we will eventually read about a man named Lazarus, right? One of the sheep, one of the followers of Jesus, one of the listeners, listening sheep. He learned the voice of Jesus in life, and he could hear it in death. Two words got him moving again. "Come out," Jesus yelled. Lazarus walks through the door of the tomb and back into life again. It's very important who we listen to, what authorities we listen to, what voices we listen to, especially when it comes to the spiritual realm of life. So it's my prayer that we would be very discerning in what voices we listen to. The Good Shepherd is calling us to pay attention. Pay attention to his voice. The Word became flesh and walked among us as the Good Shepherd. Are you listening? Are you following? Are you trusting? Can you recognize his voice above all the others in our world today? Please pray with me. God of life, light, and hope, to you we lift our praises and prayers today. Thank you for the hope of eternal life and for the joy of knowing the Good Shepherd. Help us one and all to recognize his voice in our lives, to follow him on the good paths of righteousness, and to find our ultimate comfort and peace in him. For it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray.